delegaciones, el campeonato mundial.
Baila la bola, la bola, baila la bola, mamá.
Todo el mundo quiere jugar, todo el mundo quiere ganar.
Baila la bola, la bola, baila la bola, mamá.
Baila que baila, que baila, que baila, que baila, que baila la bola ya.
Baila la bola, la bola, baila la bola, mamá.
Esta bola no es de trapo, esta bola va a ganar.
Please stay tuned. Coming up, a very special edition of Ecologic.
Cards as a meditation, and those he plays never suspect. He doesn't play for the money he wins, he doesn't play for respect. He deals a card to find the answer, the sacred geometry of chance, the hidden law of a probable outcome, the numbers lead a dance. I know that the spades are the swords of a soldier. I know that the clubs are weapons of war. I know that diamonds money for this art, but that's not the shape of my heart. He may play the jack of diamonds, he may lay the queen of spades, he may conceal a king in his hand while a memory of it fades. Spades are the swords of a soldier. I know that the clubs are weapons of war. I know that diamonds need money for this art, but that's not the shape of my heart. That's not the shape. There's something wrong. I'm not a man with too many faces. The mask I wear is one. For those who speak know nothing, and clubs and weapons of war. I know that diamonds mean money for this art, but that's not the shape of my heart. That's not the shape of my heart. That's not the shape.
If I had a hammer, I'd hammer in the morning, I'd hammer in the evening, all over this land. I'd hammer out danger, I'd hammer out a warning, I'd hammer out love between my brothers and my sisters, all over this land. If I had a bell, brothers and my sisters, all over this land. If I had a song, if I had a song, I'd sing it in the morning, I'd sing it in the evening, all over this land. I'd sing out danger, I'd sing out a warning, I'd sing out love between my brothers and my sisters, all over this land. Well, I got a hammer, and I got a bell, and I got a song to sing all over this land. It's the hammer of justice, it's the bell of freedom, it's the song about love between my brothers and my sisters, all over this land.
You're listening to a special edition of Ecologic with Ken Gale, Donna Sein, and Sally Gilbert. We're not hearing you, Ken. So we're having a little bit of technical difficulties. I am going to play the theme for a few moments while we work those difficulties out.
If I had a hammer.
don't know why it's not working. It's just, everything's going wrong.
Okay. Anything might be going over the air. We don't know. So please only check.
You are live now.
Okay. That's what we're hoping for.
Yes, you're live now.
Okay. I think we just introduced ourselves. So I'm glad we're live. But just to reintroduce ourselves, I'm Donna Stein.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Ken Gale.
And this is a special ecologic program with Heart of Mind in celebration of Pete Seeger on Friday, May 3rd, 2024. When your air and water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
We're glad to have our regular Wednesday Ecologic listeners join us for this two-hour special. We'll be back to our usual time, Wednesday at 10 a.m., next week, May 8th, but we have enjoyed putting together this celebration of Pete Seeger, whom we think is one of the most important people in American history. He was a tireless advocate for a clean environment, labor rights, peace, civil rights, freedom, as well as a legendary musician.
During the next 2 hours, we'll be playing songs and pieces of interviews from the 10-hour Pacifica Centennial Collection CD. You'll hear material from the 1960s through the 1980s and even a few historical clips that Pacifica replayed during those earlier special programs. These are interviews that haven't been heard in years, and you'll be amazed at Pete's foresight.
Pete Seeger was a wonderful songwriter, singer, musician, and activist on many social and political causes, including cleaning up the Hudson. Before he co-founded the Hudson River Sloop Clearwater Organization, he just enjoyed being on the river and sailing. Here is his young grandchild joining him in song.
We're playing When I'm Far Away. And if we don't have that clip ready now, because we are having technical difficulties, we'll play it a little bit later. We'll start with Pete traveling
Before we start with another clip that we are trying to load up, let's talk a little bit about our own experiences with Pete Seeger. I know that in 2008, I was looking at the Friends of Paramus Library newsletter, and there they were saying that Pete Seeger was going to be appearing at the Paramus Band Show. Really? A world-famous musician at the Paramus Band Show behind the library? Well, I went, and sure enough, there he was. And it was, you know, he was there with Guy Davis and with Taos Seeger Rodriguez, and it was just no big fuss, no great, you know, publicity or anything, just a wonderful evening of lovely music, just incredible.
Yeah, Donna and I were up in Beacon, and every store we went into, they realized that we were out of town, because it's a small town, they know everybody, and they're here, oh, you're here for Pete Seeger, and we're like, yeah, and they say, oh, yeah, he used to come in here. Yeah, you think of famous people sending somebody to do errands. Now, Pete ran his own errands. He was that kind of person.
Yeah.
He wanted to be just plain folks. You know, if he was at an environmental meeting, he'd sit in a circle with everybody else, raise his hand when he wanted to speak. It wouldn't just interrupt.
My earliest influence from Pete was my childhood camp counselor, Susan Blank, playing Pete Seeger and Woody Guthrie songs on her banjo around the campfire. Pete always focused on the youth, singing and helping create future carers about the environment and social responsibility. And he did that with me. Well, his music did. Clearwater's young people at the helm furthers that tradition. Join us in celebrating this special man by getting the gift of the 10-hour compilation of songs and clips from the Pacifica Archives so you can listen again and again. And we do need to tell you that our thank you gifts today for donations
Wait, I think we've got our first.
There is a generous major gift from a major donor from BAI has offered a $1,000 matching bonus. So every gift you give us today is going to be matched.
And now I think we're ready to
This is his grandson. When he was just little, because he's, you know.
Just a moment, Ken. Go ahead, Sally.
Yeah, Ken was saying that we have up now Pete Seeger singing with his young grandchild, who is now a full-blown adult, When I'm Far Away.
Well, this is about one-tenth of the Seeger-Ota-Rodriguez clan, and here's a little song. Swing round and round when I'm far away. Well, may the skiers turn, the swimmers churn, the lovers burn. Peace, may the generals learn when I'm far away. Well, may the world go. May the breezes blow, clear may the streams flow, blue above and green below when I'm far away. Well, may the world go, the world go, the world go. Well, may the world go when I'm far away. Well, may the world go, the world go, the world go. Well, may the world go when I'm far away.
Now, we're going to continue with Pete traveling back in time in a late 60s interview with actor Tim Robbins, recorded at Pete and his beloved Toshi's hand-built cabin in Beacon, New York. And now we have Travel with Woody.
But now Pete learned at an early age that the stakes were too high in life for people to be reduced to spectators. Instead, he figured that if he could get people singing together, that the meaning of the songs might translate into action on important issues like the peace movement and union building and racial equality. Pete inspired people to speak up and sing out in their own lives. Now, I can tell you one thing. He could walk into a room of maybe 8 people, 80 people, 800 people, 8,000 people, and the results were always the same. Get them singing together. It's still an effective way to get people from different walks of life to feel at one with one another and joined in purpose. That's the gift of Pete Seeger, and he can do it then, he could do it today. So right now, let's sit back and listen to the Ballad of Pete Seeger. And I know you're going to enjoy this, but you know what? You have to slow down a little. And if you do, you'll be rewarded.
I read someplace you went to Harvard, is that true?
2 years, dropped out before I finished my second year. Then I think my education really started moving.
Strikers and police battled fiercely in half a dozen places.
Well, you couldn't oppose the Nazis.
Are you now, or have you ever been, a member of the Communist Party?
I would have to know once and for all what rights I had as a human being.
We are important because of the work we do. We are human beings.
And again, the name of the drama is freedom.
Glory, hallelujah, his truth is marginal.
And I learned things in the next 2 years that I never could have learned if I'd stayed at Harvard.
From the day Pete Seeger decided to drop out of Harvard University before the end of his sophomore year in 1938, he chose a path that would take him straight into the major social struggles of the 20th century. The saga of Pete's life journey is packed with stories of adventure, struggle, and hope. The songs he learned carried on folk music traditions that might have otherwise been lost forever. The songs he performed gave people strength to endure hardships that might otherwise have broken their spirit. Seeger would help forge folk music into an enduring popular art form, inspiring countless artists to carry on the traditions and make them their own. Like Bob Dylan, Joan Baez, Peter, Paul and Mary, Odetta, Bruce Springsteen and the Byrds. But all of this would have to wait. First, Pete would have to hit the road and gain some distance from his insular East Coast upbringing.
It's Tim Robbins.
That one you knew.
Came all the way from California.
This one you knew a long time ago.
On July 6, 2006, actor-director Tim Robbins drove up to Pete and Toshi Seeger's home in the small town of Beacon, an hour and a half north of New York City on the eastern shore of the Hudson River. There, in the rustic log cabin that Pete began building with the help of his friends in 1949, the Pacifica Radio Archives recorded a conversation with Pete and Tim, which turned quickly to Pete's first experiences crossing paths with folk legend Woody Guthrie. The time Seeger spent motoring, hitchhiking, and train jumping with Woody across America would open Pete's eyes in a way no Harvard education could. We begin our story with one of the early meetings of Pete and Woody, arranged by folklorist and musicologist Alan Lomax at the Library of Congress. Alan was a pioneering audio preservationist and recording engineer who conceived of a way to record folk music in rural America with an early model lacquer disc cutter. He packed it in the trunk of his car.
So where did you start?
He came to Washington because Alan Lomax wanted to record him for the Library of Congress. He stayed there whole weekend just recording hour after hour on big 16-inch acetate discs. Jerome Wiesner, who later on was head of MIT, was in charge of the little recording studio that the Library of Congress had. Late one night, Woody says, "Pete, aren't there some mountains in Virginia?" And I said, "Yeah, beautiful mountains, Blue Ridge Mountains, they call them." He says, "How far are they?" I said, "Oh, they're a couple hours' drive." He said, "Let's go out and see the mountains." This being midnight. And about 5 miles outside of Washington, there was an old lady with a big sack of some vegetables or something on her back walking down the road. And we stopped, says, "Can we give you a, Auntie, can we give you a lift?" She says, "Well, thanks, boys. I will take a lift. This load's heavy." And she gets in the back seat. Then she says, "Where are you boys going?" "We're going out and look at the mountains." "What? You're going down to look at the mountains?" She said, "Boys, would you let me out, please?" "Hey, Auntie, you won't get another lift tonight." She says, "Please let me out." She didn't want to be... Two boys at 12:30 wanted to look at the mountains. When dawn came, we saw the mountains.
When he found himself facing a new situation, time after time, if his naivete was overwhelmed, he would fall back on his kind and gentle nature to guide him. Tim Robbins digs a little deeper into this notion.
After you met him, what led to you two going on the road together?
Well, I was a very naive, inexperienced 20-year-old, and he was 27, had been married for 10 years, fathered 3 children, and been on the radio and made records and done all sorts of things. He said to me, "That Seeger is the youngest man I ever knew. I didn't drink, I didn't smoke, didn't chase girls. But I had a good ear, and I could accompany him anything. I didn't have to hear it once. The first time I heard it, I could hear a chord change coming, and I didn't play anything fancy. I just gave him a good, solid backing. I didn't try and play fancy breaks or anything."
Mm-hmm.
So he let me tag along with him.
"I'd like to sing a song for some of my Chicano sisters and brothers here. This song was written way back. Woody Guthrie read in the newspaper a little item said a plane had crashed near the border. And he didn't bother to say who had been killed. Simply said they were deportees, Mexican migrants. The crops are all in. The peaches are rotting. The oranges are piled in their creosote dumps.
you're flying them back to the Mexico border to pay all their money to wade back again. Goodbye to my Juan, goodbye, Rosalita. Adios, mis amigos, Jesus and Maria. You won't have a name when you ride the big airplane, and all they will call you will be deportee.
When Pete Seeger was starting out, radio was king, and the premier radio dramatist of the day was Norman Corwin. It was Corwin who gave Pete Seeger his radio debut on the prestigious CBS network in 1942. In this 1968 Pacifica radio interview, Corwin asked Pete about how he came to play his instrument of choice.
Pete, I remember asking you way back then, which is almost a generation ago, how you happened to pick the banjo.
I don't know. I often wonder what makes a person like one instrument more than another. Why does one fellow pick the clarinet and another the trumpet? There must be some deep psychological reason.
You know what deep psychological reason you gave me then?
What?
You said that you looked around you at the field of instrumentation and found that the banjo was very seldom used.
Oh, there's other seldom used instruments too. I think it's a happy sound, and I still believe that you got to be optimistic in the world in spite of all the logical reasons for pessimism. As long as you want to live, you got to... Well, you remember the Peanuts cartoon? Linus, in the first frame, says, when a little baby is born, he's cold, he's scared. Second frame. He needs something to cheer him up. Third frame. I think every baby should be born with a banjo.
That's beautiful.
This next segment was produced by WBAI in 1970, not long before the first Earth Day. In it, Pate predicts greenwashing, environmental racism, and environmental justice decades before those terms were invented. Decades. Here is Pete Seeger predicting the future, which is now our past and present. The voices you hear with Pete are the BAI host and singer-songwriter, Reverend Fred Kirkpatrick.
And maybe we ought to keep in mind that the word environment and the word ecology and the word pollution is going to be heard from all kinds of establishment people during the next few months. And they're going to try and convince everybody that they're doing everything that can be done. And we're going to have to put down on paper exactly what they are doing. Nixon says he's going to spend $10 billion to clean up the water. Does the average American know that every single water expert in America has said it's going to take $40 or $50 billion to even start the job? That's just for secondary treatment plants. That gives halfway treatment to the sewage. If you want to have complete sewage treatment plants for all USA, it will take several hundred billion dollars. And Nixon is talking about, oh, I'm going to clean it up. I got $10 billion for you.
It's That's the great token. Old shuck again, isn't it?
It's the thing known as tokenism.
Jumped on the bandwagon to take the sail out of real people that are concerned about the eradicating pollution. I looked at him yesterday on the news in Chicago with a whole lot of little kids around him, you know, really politicking for the next four-year election. Whereas some organization had a plant there where it's supposed to make the water safe after it runs through this plant. Nixon dipped up a jug of the water, but he refused to taste it, to test it, and see whether or not it was valid. So what we really see now is he's jumped on the bandwagon, and the news media is with him, you know, because when the Hudson River Sloop Project and other projects started talking about water pollution, the people that own these plants are the polluters. Was a little afraid, and they kept their mouths closed because they thought that they were going to be forced to use their own monies to clean the water up. But now Nixon has said he's going to do it, which is going to take the taxpayers' money, the skin from our hides, to clean it up, so they all are jumping on the bandwagon with it. Just another one of those schemes.
If tokenism is a little step taken in the right direction, and having taken that little step, every time somebody wants them to take more steps, they say, no, we're already taking steps in the right direction. But this step is taken just to forestall the big steps that need to be taken. Tokenism is saying, here's a nickel, my good man, go away and don't bother me. Tokenism is extending your hand to someone and shaking it so that you don't have to do anything more for him. Then you can turn your back on him. He said, well, I shook his hand. I was friendly, wasn't I?
You were up and down the Hudson this past spring, summer, and into the fall on the Clearwater, both of you were.
Yes.
And how mad are the people about this?
People are just starting to get mad, and last year all we did was open the subject. This next summer, the Clearwater's going to be sailing April, May, June, July, August, September, to every year, and we're going to have exhibits giving a lot more hard-hitting information, because we've got to learn the facts now. It's not enough just to say there's pollution. We've got to learn what kind of pollution it is, how dangerous it is, how much it's going to cost to get rid of it. And I think we'll all learn in the process. One thing is, one thing we're going to learn is that these problems are not going to be solved unless we all get together. And that's why I myself, I don't feel as pessimistic as Paul Ehrlich, but I think that we're not going to solve pollution unless we also solve racism, unless we solve the gap between the rich and the poor in the world, unless we can solve the violence crisis, the waste of money on guns and killing and gas, and the whole human race is being faced with the question, are we going to survive or we're not? We're either going to make it together or we're not going to make it at all. And that's why Kirk's song is so great. Everybody got a right to live. That means everybody. Everybody. And when the human race will sing this song, then we'll be able to solve these problems. Who knows what this song means? Everybody got a right to live. That means the right to have babies, too.
Great.
The right to have enough food to eat.
Everybody's got a right to live. Everybody's got a right to live.
Now, I think the significant thing about the coming summer project of the Hudson River Clearwater, it's so excited to see all of these young kids, and I'm running a science project aboard the Hudson Clearwater this summer. We have what is known as a science department. We talk about liberation now. We talk about starting an independent school system, education for life, radical education for life. And the exciting thing, the little children in the Midwest, Manhattan, and around the country now is becoming very concerned about the natural resources, their natural habitats, and how they're being invaded and being the natural laws are being violated and destroyed by the powers to be. Now, in going into these communities and talking with these kids are able to relate. Let us say we talk about the cycles, the natural cycles of, that are responsible for us living, the nitrogen cycle, which is responsible for fertilizer, and the energy cycle, which is responsible for green plant life, and the oxygen cycle, which without that we couldn't survive. Now, water pollution and air pollution in this country is affecting these cycles where they're not able to make the complete revolution. And when that happens, it means they're being damaged to the point that they cannot function well. And when they do not function well, it means that we don't function well. We take, for instance, the energy cycle, which is the only open cycle that we have. The sun must strike the vegetation and water in order for the cycle to function well. Well, in New York City, as I looked at the smog and fog yesterday, which inhibit and prohibit to the degree the sun from striking the earth. Each time this happened, it means that the cycle is being impeded and it's not carrying out its function to bring sunlight to the natural resources so they'll function right. Now, when these kids look at this as a reality in their own habitat and their own communities, then it's going to raise concern. As Brother Siegel said a few minutes ago, and it's going to really bring a real madness into community, because these kids are no end. They must fight, for their own survival.
You're listening to Ecologic with Catherine Davis of Heart of Mind right here on WBAI New York 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. I'm Donna Stein.
And thank you very much, Donna. And I'm so happy to join the three of you for this program. As I was listening to these clips about the life of Pete Seeger, it struck me that this is just what the world needs right now. And it's certainly what WBAI needs. So I want to reach out to the listeners of Heart of Mind to engage and support this program. It is a collaboration, and we are all here to benefit WBAI. And your donations matter. Just like everything else in our life, we want to preserve our radio station, and we want to connect to it, especially for those of you from Heart of Mind, on that deep level of spirit, consciousness, awareness, where we can perceive that the planet itself is part of our own body and we have to care for it. WBAI could be said to be part of our mind, of our capacity to think and share. And we have to preserve that because WBAI is the only terrestrial outlet that I can think of that allows this conversation, that allows us to collaborate and plan and transform not only how we relate to each other, but how we relate to our planet. And this person, Pete Seeger, has so much to teach. So I encourage you to support the station with us. And you can start doing that now by calling 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950. And if you can make a generous gift of $100 to WBAI, we will thank you with this wonderful program that's coming to you from Pacifica Archives, Pete Seeger Centennial Collection. So that is a way that we can thank you for making that gift to WBAI. You can go to the website, give to WBAI.org, or you can make that phone call, 212-209-2950.
And something about that matching bonus, folks, well, this is very exciting. We have a generous major donor of WBAI that has offered a $1,000 matching bonus for all the thank you gifts that you give to pledge today.
So if 10 of you get the Pacifica, the Pete Seeger Centennial Collection, if 10 of you, we will get that matching fund. So you'll enjoy those 10 hours. It's 10 hours on that CD. They're MP3 files, so you have to be able to play an MP3 file on your CD player on your computer. But it's some wonderful stuff. We're only going to be able to give you a little bit of each piece. But we're trying to give you as much of a flavor of what Pete was like. Donna and I knew him, worked with him, and what an amazing man. I just love the guy. And listening to these clips to help prepare them so you can hear them, I just fell more in love with him than I had before.
Yeah. That makes so much sense. I was feeling the same thing right now and really remembering the atmosphere of when we were WBAI was paired at the Clearwater Revival Festivals. And it really is a family affair. So we want to encourage those of you who are listening to make that gift. And your gift is doubled by the matching fund. So when you make a gift of $100, you're actually giving the station $200 when you make that phone call, 212-209-2950. Wow. So
here's Odetta performing a song from the collection CD. in just a moment.
I didn't say nothing. See how you are? I feel that it is an incredible time to be living. There is something going on in the ether. And whatever that is, I don't think that any of us have a direct clue to it. But the kinds of things that we're interested in doing and affecting is more possible now than ever before. I have been receiving messages from all over the place. This morning I thought, you know the phrase, no rest for the weary? I changed it this morning. There is no rest for the willing. Most all of us, musicians, my cohorts, my teachers, musicians here, travel. And as, well, I'll speak for myself, across the nation I meet people who are concerned and working together. And of course we never hear about those things because good news evidently is not news via the media or the newspapers. And I'm feeling that yes, I am a musician and I'm a singer, but I am to be of use and I'm to help bridge. I mean, with a note and a token, you can ride the subway. So it isn't just being a musician. Tonight is like a command performance for me. I understand from Naomi that Mr. Winter and Mr. Seeger requested I be on this program. Pete's an old teacher of mine. I don't know how old he claims to be, but he's an old teacher of mine. When getting ready to, today seemed to have been a day when many people needed to be administered to, and I was wondering how I was going to get here on time. And as I picked up the baby, that's my guitar, and I'm heading out the door, something says to me, don't take the guitar. I've gotten to the point where I said, well, okay. And I walked out of the door and I locked it and I said, well, okay. One of the things that has come through this music area to me is that the body is the original instrument. So I bought the original instrument for you. And my guitar is a chumpy chump anyhow, and we got some magnificent musicians around, so what the hell am I going to do? Okay. Oh, excuse me. on the guitar, I have a convenient little thing that I call my idiot sheet. So This reminds me, when I first got serious about music, I was studying classical music and a German Lieder and art songs. So those of you who are familiar with the Lieder singers know this. This is my idiot sheet. I can't hide it. Okay. This is coming out of the tradition of Baptist minister, Southern Baptist minister, preaching.
Man, run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. You may run on now for a long time. But let me tell you, God Almighty's gonna cut you down. Go tell that long tongue liar. Go tell that midnight rider. Tell the gambling rambler. Back a bottle. Tell them God Almighty's gonna cut them down now. Great God Almighty, let me tell you the news. I has been wet with the midnight news. Now I've been down on my bended knees. Talking to the man from Galilee. My God spoke so sweet. I thought I heard the shovel of angels reach. He put one hand on my head. Great God Almighty, let me tell you what he said. May run for a long time. Run on for a long time. You may run on for a long time. But let me tell you, God Almighty's gonna cut you down. You may throw a rock. Hide your hand. Working in the dark, get your fellow man. As sure as God made the day and the night, what you do in the dark will be brought to light. You may run and hide, slip and slide. Try to take the moat from your neighbor's eyes. But neighbor, let me tell you, as sure as your bone, but whoo, you may run on for a long time. Run on for a long time, you may run on for a long time, but let me tell you, God Almighty's gonna cut you down. Some people go to church, signify, try to make a date with his neighbor's wife. Neighbor, let me tell you, since you use your bone, you better leave the woman alone. One of these days, you mark my word, you think the brother is going to work. You walk up and knock on the door, that's all the brother you want. Go tell that long tongue liar. Go tell that I mean right, right. Tell again the rambler. Back a bite. That's who God Almighty's gonna cut him down.
And that was the well-loved but underappreciated Odetta singing. And that presentation gave us a little bit of the life that Odetta brought to the table. And her collaboration, not just in creativity, but in energy and purpose with Pete Seeger. And this is a representation of what you'll receive when you make that gift of $100 to WBAI. Sally?
Yes. It's just so fascinating listening to all these things, and you'll be able to hear so many of these wonderful things. And you know, Pete really appreciated the free speech aspect of BAI, and it's so important to keep this station on the air, to get the tower fund paid, to get all our expenses paid for with a buddy pledge, that so we have a regular income, with a donation to be part of that matching grant so that we can stay on the air and keep bringing you all these wonderful programs.
That's right. You're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, WBAI.org. This is a very special collaboration between Ecologic and Heart of Mind. We resonate. We're like kindred spirits, and we want you to join that community by making that phone call, 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950. And for your gift of $100 during this time period, it will be multiplied with that beautiful matching fund. Your gift will double when you make that pledge of $100 to WBAI, and we can thank you with the material you're listening to right now, and that's the Pacifica Archive Collection featuring Pete Seeger. And we're going to be playing another clip in a moment, but I wanted to pause to see if Donna or Ken wanted to join in this moment of just how wonderful it is.
How wonderful Pete Seeger is, and how wonderful WBAI is.
Exactly.
We are very happy to have you listening with us today, and we're very happy to make this presentation. Pete Seeger is a personal idol of ours, along with Sandra Steingraber and Rachel Carson. You know, he's way up there in our reverence.
I don't say that lightly, because I mean, Rachel Carson founded the modern day environmental movement, and she's important because she inspired people, she taught people, and she activated people. And Pete did that. He did that with his music. He did that with his talking. I mean, he was amazing. The way he acted toward everybody, and you know, getting to know him was such a special thing. And I knew at the time that it was special. I should tell my kite story, shouldn't I?
Yeah.
Well, maybe we should give folks a little bit more audio, because that is what we hope to inspire their gift to WBAI. And then coming out of the next clip, we can share a few more stories. What do you say, Ken?
Okay.
All right. So I am going to, we're going to move on. It's special when someone in an artistic profession interviews someone else in the same profession. For instance, when an actor interviews an actor or an artist interviews an artist. Here is one great songwriter interviewing another. Pete Seeger interviewing Bob Dylan as he introduced Dylan to the world at the beginning of his career.
I'd like to hear some of the songs that Bob Dylan's made up, because of all the people I've heard in America, he seems to be the most prolific. Bob, do you make a song before breakfast every day or before supper?
No, I don't make up a song like that. In fact, sometimes I could go about 2 weeks without making up a song.
I don't believe it.
Oh, yeah. But then sometimes, well, these are the songs that I sing. I might go without 2 weeks and make them up. But I write a lot of stuff. In fact, I wrote 5 songs last night. But I gave all the papers away someplace. It was in a place called Bitter End. And somewhere just about what was happening on the stage. And I would never sing them any place. They were just for myself and for some other people. They might say, write a song about that, and I'd do it. But I don't sit around and do it with the newspapers like a lot of people do, spread newspapers all around and pick something out to write a song about. It's usually right there in my head before I start. That's the way I write. I mean, it might be a bad approach. I don't even consider even writing songs. I don't even consider that I wrote it when I got done.
Put it together.
You made it.
Yeah. I just figured that I made it up or got it someplace. I just sort of, the song was there before me, before I came along. I just sort of came down and just sort of took it down with a pencil, but it was all there before I came around. That's what I feel about it.
I feel about Bob Dylan's songs very often that Bob is actually a kind of folk mind. You know, it represents all the people around. And all the ideas current just filtered down, and they come out in poetry. And, for example, like one song he wrote about that fellow that has to be put into an institution. What was his name, White?
Oh, yeah, no, he's dead now.
He's dead now. For example, you put in one line, you say, the institutions were overcrowded.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't see that appearing in a traditional ballad stanza before he sang it. And it's actually the first song I can think of, a modern song, that uses the ideas of the 20th century, Freudian psychology, and the ideas of people being afraid of life in actually a folk song.
Instead of talking about it, let's hear it.
Yeah, can we hear that song?
Let him get tuned up while we're talking anyway, and we can let him give us an example of how these songs sort of come to him and flow through him.
Well, I think this particular song is historical in the sense that it's the first psychological song of the modern generation that I've heard.
I took this from Bonnie Dobson's tune, Peter Amberley, I think the name of it is. My name is Donald White, you see I stand before you all. I was judged by you, a murderer, the hangman's knife must fall. I will die upon the gallows pole when the moon is bright and clear. And
than you'll ever hear. If I had some education to give me a decent start, I might have been a doctor or a master in the art. But I used my hands for stealing when I was very young, and they locked me down in jailhouse cells. That's how my life begun. Oh, the inmates and the prisoners, I found they were my kind. It was there inside the bars I found my peace of mind. But the jails, they were too crowded, institutions overflowed. So they set me loose to walk upon life's very tangled road. And there's danger on the ocean where the salt sea waves split high. And there's danger on the battlefield where the shells of bullets fly. And there's danger in this open world where men fight to be free. And for me, the greatest danger was in society. So I asked them to send me back to the institution home. But they said they were too crowded for me, they had no. I got down on my knees and begged, oh please put me away. But they would not listen to my plea or nothing I would say. And so it was on Christmas Eve in the year of 59. It was on that night I killed a man I did not try to hide. The jury found me guilty, and I don't disagree. For I knew that it would happen if I wasn't put away. But I'm glad I've had no parents to care for me and cry. For now they will never know the horrible death that I died. And I'm also glad I've had no friends to see me in disgrace. For they'll never see that hangman's hood wrap around my face. Farewell to the old north woods of which I used to roam. Farewell to the crowded bars of which have been my home. Farewell to all you people that think the worst of me. I guess you'll feel much better when I'm on that hanging tree. But there's just one more question before they kill me dead. I'm wondering just how much to you I really said.
You're listening to a special program of Ecologic, and we just heard a bit of the interview of Dylan by Pete, which is very, very special. And we're offering you today an opportunity to support WBAI for your gift of $100 to support the station. Then we can thank you with the Pete Seeger Centennial Collection. The number to call is 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950. You can go to the website at WBAI.org if you want to make that gift of $100, and you can signify your preference for having that gift of the Pete Seeger Centennial Collection.
You're listening to Ecologic with Catherine Davis of Heart of Mind right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. I'm Donna Stein.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And we have Ken Gale and Catherine Davis with us. We are... Ken?
Yeah, we're playing segments from the 10-hour Pete Seeger Centenary Collection. And Bob Dylan plays a lot more songs on that segment that's on that disc, including, Blowing in the Wind and his song about Emmett Till. We can't play everything. We got 10 hours on that CD. We can't play it all. I wish we could. It's so much great stuff. I remember that Donna Sally and I discussing which song do we play of Odetta? Which song do we play of Bob Dylan? Because it's hard to choose. There's so much great stuff. And if you want it, please donate $100 and we will thank you with a copy of that CD. You can play it over and over, share it with the loved ones in your life. And if they've heard of Pete Seeger, they'll be overjoyed. And if they haven't, it'll be some of the most fun musical education they've ever had. 10 hours of Pete Seeger and the people he worked with.
And we're very grateful to this generous major donor of WBAI to offer this matching bonus of $1,000. So as Ken said earlier, if 10 people donate $100, we can give you a thank you gift.
And we'll be getting double that for the station so that we can keep the lights on, keep the equipment running, the tower transmitting, the engineers paid. It takes a lot to put a broadcast together, and we work hard for you, and we want you to be part of this.
And so now we're going to be playing to you some Solartopia. My earliest influence from Pete was my childhood camp counselor. I think I told you that already. Gosh. But regular listeners of Ecologic will remember our conversation last September with Ed Renahan about his book, Pete Seeger and the Un-Americans. Senator Joseph McCarthy ushered in a fearful time in this country when Cold War hysteria made communism a dirty word and accusations destroyed careers. The House Un-American Committee, known as UAC, investigated the entertainment industry. Many were blacklisted. Pete is so famous for his testimony to UAC. He answered their questions, but not in the way they wanted, even offering to sing to them.
Yeah.
Author and playwright Lillian Hellman, under subpoena, agreed to testify, but only about her own thoughts and activities. She refused to, quote, now or in the future, bring bad trouble to people who in my past association were completely innocent. The committee refused to accept her conditions, so she took the fifth and was blacklisted. Longtime Pacifica broadcaster William Mandel had a few good words for them. Here's one of many Pacifica radio broadcasts.
Sir Thomas More invented the word utopia, where everything was going to be hunky-dory. But now we know it's going to be a green-powered Earth, and that'll be Solartopia.
Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
So we went digging into the ground and started to burn many things we found. But
don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia, Solartopia.
Utopia, Solartopia. Don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia all over God's green world?
Well, we multiplied, we needed more. The rich got rich, the poor got sore. The fuel ran scarce, the price jumped high, and so they gave nuclear power a try. But
don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia, Solartopia, Solartopia.
Actually, what keeps me going is when I can hear a gang of people joining in on a song. So if any song I sing tonight you want to hum along, it won't hurt my feelings if you just do so. A little harmony, too. Where have all the flowers gone? Long time passing. Where have all the flowers gone? Long time ago. Where have all the flowers gone? Girls have picked them, everyone. When will they ever learn? When will they ever learn? Where have all the young girls gone? Long time passing. Where have all the young girls gone? Long time ago. Where have all the young girls gone? Taken husbands, everyone. When will they ever learn? When will they ever learn? Where have all the young men gone? Long time passing. Where have all the young men gone?
Now, how important is Pete Seeger to musical history in the U.S.? he was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Judy Collins wrote this on the Hall of Fame website. Pete Seeger has always walked the road less traveled, a tall, lean fellow with long arms and legs, high energy, and a contagious, joyous spirit. He set everything in motion, singing in that magical voice, his head thrown back as though calling to the heavens, making you see that you can change the world, risk everything, do your best, cast away stones. Bells of Rimney, where have all the flowers gone, one grain of sand, oh, had I a golden thread, songs scattered along our path like jewels, from the present into the past and back along the road to the future. That's what Judy Collins said about Pete. Harry Belafonte and Arla Guthrie had the honor of inducting Pete Seeger into the Hall of Fame, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, in 1996. Clip number nine.
When I was asked to perform this duty, I find myself being very grateful to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame because it meant that someplace in America there would be a standing edifice that would embody a small place in which millions and millions of young people would be able to glean a small bit of truth about a man who is one of the great sons of this great country. America can boast about many of her sons and daughters, but America is truly fortunate to have Pete Seeger. If I were to be given the opportunity to pick the fifth face on Mount Rushmore, I would nominate Pete Seeger. For those of us who have looked upon art as a curious gift, a troublesome gift, an awesome gift, looking for ways in which to be able to turn this gift into some constructive use, many of us were fortunate that in our lifetime, Pete Seeger lived. This is the second time in a year that I've had the opportunity to share a platform with Pete Seeger in a ceremony that was honoring him. The first was at the lawn of the White House, and President Clinton gave to Pete Seeger the National Medal of Honor for his contributions to America as a great artist and a great citizen. What made that moment so deeply moving and touching was the fact that just a few short decades earlier, this very same America, with men who sat in powerful places, who sought to rob this country of its soul, rob it of its truth, moved about unimpeded, crushing the lives of thousands of men and women, many of whom were artists. Pete Seeger was one of those. But he stood strong, he stood tall, and those of us who were also victims of that same cruelty could call upon Pete and his strength to find a way to combat this great evil through the use of art and a song. To know how profound that really is, you have to have walked some of the streets that I have walked. You have to have been in camps where wars of liberation were being fought by men and women who were seeking to get rid of the heels of oppression, and who could, in so doing, call upon a song to help inspire them to fulfill their great task in overthrowing injustice. When I walk through the Andes of Latin America, in South America, in Peru, in Ecuador, in Chile, Pete Seeger has been there. When I've been to the kibbutzim in Israel, and I move among the young settlers in the Negev, the songs they sing tell me that Pete Seeger has been there. Long before I knew who Nelson Mandela was, Pete Seeger brought into the fold of song a song called Wimmerle, who spoke to the plights of young South Africans seeking to overthrow apartheid. It was Peak and the Weavers who struck a chord in us to help illuminate the way. When we were in Tennessee, struggling to find a way in which to defeat the unjust laws of segregation, one night in Tennessee, waiting for the Ku Klux Klan to descend upon us, Pete Seeger took out his banjo, reached into the recesses of a quiet place, and brought forth a song called We Shall Overcome. Dr. King sitting there, although the song was part of his racial heritage, did not know it. When he heard Pete sing it, he said, what a great song for the movement. And that's when We Shall Overcome became the banner for those of us who were in the quest for justice. Because I've been about the world, in nations where people have sought to find a place in the sun, when they sing We Shall Overcome, I always think of Pete Seeger. I'm thankful to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, because somewhere all this history, all this truth, all this power shall be unfolded to those who will not find much of this truth anyplace else. We are in a dark period. This country is struggling for its soul, is looking for truth. There are those who would denounce us as artists because we try to go into those places and we're told we have no place in politics. When in fact, the only thing that has really and truly inspired the progress of the human race has been culture and art and the song. I thank the Pete Seeger singing Goodnight Irene and helping me to discover Lead Belly, the man who sat down in the heart of Mississippi on the chain gang, giving America some of the greatest songs that I'd ever heard. I thank Pete Seeger, Sainer, that brought to many who were anti-Semitic an inspired moment to sing a song that they didn't even know where it came from. The two men, Paul Robeson and Pete Seeger, I remember once in a discussion with them, they concluded, and I've always felt this to be the greatest center of my own truth, it says, get them to sing your song, and they will want to know who you are. And if they've made that first step, you can find a solution to hate. I give you my friend and colleague, Arlo Guthrie.
I think Eric has said it all, frankly. Just mention this one thing. It's almost 50 years ago now that Goodnight Irene with Pete was shown singing with the Weavers. It's almost 50 years ago that it was on the charts and went to number one. And I can't think of a single event in Pete's life that is probably less important to him. And I think he's still embarrassed by it. And I think that says more about his willingness to be here tonight, and who we are. There are a lot of branches to this rock and roll thing, and somewhere in this, in these branches is all these voices singing so many different things, and the one thing that I don't think we should ever forget, and that Pete has reminded me all of my life, is that when we sing together, nobody can take us down. As a country and as a people and as friends and families all over the world. And I just thank Pete for that. I welcome him. I'm proud to induct him into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
You're listening to the second hour of Pete Seeger's birthday special on Ecologic with Catherine Davis of Heart of Mine, right here in WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. Pete's 90th birthday concert in Madison Square Garden was packed. I was lucky enough to get a last-minute ticket at the box office. He never wanted to make a big deal of himself personally, but he agreed to do this concert to help the Clearwater organization survive into the future. Pete was a great friend to WBI and Pacifica, and now your support is needed to help Pete's favorite radio station survive. Please donate to WBAI. We have great thank you gifts for you, including the book Pete versus the Un-Americans by Ed Renahan, the 10-hour Pete Seeger Centennial Collection CD, video of the Raging Granny singing with Pete Seeger. Take a look. You can also just donate to the station because you love us and think WBAI is important, like Pete did. Becoming Ecologics or Heart of Minds BAI Buddy is another way you can support us and really is a wonderful way for our station to have reliable income to pay our bills. Please consider any or all of the above. Catherine?
That's right. And what we are doing today is celebrating the amazing contribution and life of Pete Seeger. And your gift of $100 to the radio station helps us to make that celebration. I'm asking you to call 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950, and make a pledge of support for WBAI Radio. This is an amazing thing, and this is just a very special collaboration between Ecologic and Heart of Mind. And we're here on WBAI New York and 99.5 FM, WBAI.org.
This station has covered so many issues, so many of which Pete was involved with, from freedom fighting and civil rights issues to environmental issues to all that he started with the Hudson River Sloop Clearwater, his effect on the Clean Air Act going down to Washington with hundreds of thousands of signatures and doing a spontaneous concert in Congress. You can hear more about this if listening to this CD. We've played as much as we can, but there's so much more to it. And any contribution, whether it's that, whether it's just becoming a BAI buddy and really being part of the station, whether it's just a one-time gift because you can, to show us how much you appreciate this show, we really appreciate all that you do to help the station stay on the air, to keep broadcasting all these wonderful pieces. We're here every week with Ecologic with a different topic. We talk about PFAS, we talk about nuclear, we talk about the farm bill. The House farm bill just came out. Now we have to go to the Senate. We'll be talking about that one of these weeks soon. We want to be here for you broadcasting, and the way we can do that is if everybody pitches in and throws a little, kind of like we'll hear maybe later about Stone Soup. It's the same kind of thing. Everybody puts in a little and you get a wonderful product out at the end. Well, please help us by calling 212-209-2950 or go to give2wbai.org, ask for one of our thank you gifts, or just send a donation. Go to the WBAI homepage and look for the donate button there for our transmission tower transmission fund.
And remember that all your gifts today, your thank you gifts, are matched by a very generous major donor who has offered a matching bonus of $1,000. Those of you who are very involved in the anti-racism struggle are likely familiar with the Highlander School in Tennessee. So many civil rights leaders were there over the decades, from Martin Luther King Jr. to Rosa Parks to Ella Baker and Pete Seeger.
And shall we go to the next clip?
Yeah.
Let's hear from Rosa Parks herself.
Rosa Parks went there, you know, and that's what inspired her to sit down. for a week they had people discussing, how are we going to get rid of Jim Crow? And at the end of the week, Miles went around the circle. What are you going to do when you get home to put into practice what you've learned here? And one woman said, well, I'm going to start voter registration. And a man said, no, I got to start before that. Some of my people can't read or write. I'm going to start literacy classes. And they came to this seamstress, 41 years old, from Montgomery, Alabama, and said, what are you going to do? She said, well, I really don't know. She said, well, you must think of something. We'll get back to you. And they said, what are you going to do? She said, I really don't know what I'm going to, but I am going to do something. And that was Rosa.
The driver noted that the front of the bus was filled with white passengers and there would be two or three men standing. He looked back and asked that the seat where I had taken, along with three other persons, one in the seat with me and two across the aisle, was seated. He demanded the seats that we were occupying. The other passengers very reluctantly gave up their seats, but I refused to do so. He then called the officers of the law. They came and placed me under arrest, and I was bailed out shortly after the arrest. And the trial was held December 5th on the next Monday, and the protest began from that day, and it is still continuing. I don't know why I wasn't, but I didn't feel afraid. I had decided that I would have to know once and for all what rights I had as a human being and a citizen, even in Montgomery, Alabama.
And you're listening to a special program of Ecologic and Heart of Mine, and we've been listening to the amazing life of Pete Seeger. And if you can make that gift of $100 to WBAI, we will thank you with the Pete Seeger Centennial Collection. Please call that number, 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950. Go to the donation site, give to WBAI.org. Give to WBAI.org. And as you make that gift to WBAI, you can choose Pete Seeger Centennial Collection as your gift.
And despite his many years as an anti-war activist, fighting Hitler was different. So Pete joined the military. Here he talks with Pacifica broadcaster Mario Cassetta about their shared experience in Taipan.
The Almanacs disbanded and World War II raged on. Both Woody Guthrie and Pete Seeger joined the war effort, Woody joining the Merchant Marines and Pete joining the Army. Pete was eventually stationed in Saipan, where he might have felt isolated in the South Pacific, separated from all of his folk friends, if it were not for his chance meeting with one particular individual. Mario Boots Cassetta was a station manager for Armed Forces radio station WXLD in Saipan. Mario also happened to be an old Almanacs fan and soon found out Pete was stationed on the same island. They began a friendship that would span over 50 years. Mario Cassetta became host of a very unique world folk music show for over 20 years on Pacifica radio station KPFK in Los Angeles. This clip is from a 1976 Pacifica recording of Mario's program.
As you travel about, do you ever run into any of our really old-time friends that we used to sing with?
Once in a long while, since I travel a lot, I do meet people. Somebody comes backstage and says, Pete, do you remember me? And I look and say, and then, holy man, Leo! Yeah. I haven't seen you in the Army. Yeah. My gosh, 30 years ago. Yeah. And we have a little reunion backstage.
Has it been that long? I'm afraid it has.
Yeah, it was 32 years ago that you and I met on the island of Saipan, and we'd get together with some beer and sing some disrespectable songs.
Oh, boy, did we.
And,
Do you remember Dinky Dye?
Yes.
You learn from those Australian soldiers? Huh?
No, one of the other members in our company had been stationed down
been stationed
in Bougainville.
There.
Bougainville. Island.
He learned.
How are you?
Is that a good key?
He landed in London and straightaway strode to Army headquarters on Horse Ferry Road. To see all the blodgers who dodge all the straff by getting soft jobs on the headquarters staff. Dinky-die, dinky-dinky-die, dinky-die, dinky-dinky-die, by getting soft jobs on the headquarters staff.
Lousy Lance Corporal.
The lousy Lance Corporal said, pardon me, please. You've mud on your tunic and blood on your sleeve. You look so disgraceful that people will laugh, said the lousy Lance Corporal on headquarters staff. Dinky-die, dinky-dinky-die, dinky-die, dinky-dinky-die, said the lousy Lance Corporal on headquarters staff. The digger just shot him a murderous glance. He says, we're just back from the shambles of France, where whiz-bangs are flying and comforts are few, and brave men are dying for bastards like you. Dinky-die, dinky-dinky-die, dinky-die, dinky-dinky-die, and brave men are dying for bastards like you. We're shelled on the left and we're shelled on the right. We're bombed all the day and we're bombed all the night. If something don't happen, then that mighty soon there'll be nobody left in the bloody platoon. Dinky-die, dinky-dinky-die, dinky-die, dinky-dinky-die, there'll be nobody left in the bloody platoon. You know, there's tens of thousands of songs like that in our country around the world, too. Maybe hundreds of thousands. And each gives you a little glimpse of real life, unvarnished real life.
And Keith Seeger was in the middle of that real life. Can you imagine somebody doing a song like that nowadays? They'd be court-martialed so quick. But World War II is a different kind of war, and he could make observations like that.
Yeah.
And the almanac that they refer to, the almanac singers that had Woody Guthrie in it and Lee Hayes and Pete Seeger and a whole bunch of other folks, and they were so effective with their music that J. Edgar Hoover started investigating every member of the almanacs because of their politics. And so, you know, think about he was a young man when J. Edgar Hoover started looking at what Pete Seeger was doing.
Yes. We're bringing a special two-hour presentation today to honor Pete Seeger's birthday. This has been an attempt to show people who didn't know Pete Seeger a little about the great man. Even the 10 full hours of this Pete Seeger Centennial Collection CD isn't enough to chronicle Pete's contributions.
Yeah.
This two-hour special is just a taste. We look forward to sharing the gift of this valuable CD with you. To all who already know of Pete Seeger, the CD is a love letter that you can enjoy and share with others.
You know how many times I speak with young people and they answer my question, no, they don't know Pete Seeger, but they might know his songs, If I Had a Hammer, Which Side Are You On? It's his wisdom, grace, humility, talent, dedication, and the power of song that propels him to beloved status. Pete loved WBAI and Pacifica for the independent information that you can't get anywhere else. You want to honor Pete? Then it is logical that you honor what was important to him. WBAI needs you. As a Clearwater person, board member, and past president of the local Clearwater Sloop Club, I was lucky to get to know Pete. WBAI broadcasting live from the Clearwater Revival Festivals allowed Ken to get to know Pete. There are many threads interwoven here. Help us continue the ongoing creation of this listener-sponsored radio station, free of big money influence. Help us be the voice of many. Call 212-209-2950 or go to give2wbai.org. And you're listening to Ecologic with Catherine Davis of Heart of Mind right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. I'm Donna Stein.
I'm Ken Gale.
And I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Catherine Davis.
It was a joy working with Catherine Davis to put this show together.
Absolutely. Real pleasure.
And it's just joy. I wish I knew who at Pacifica, however many years ago it was, put together the Pete Seeger Centennial CD, because they must have gone nuts trying to choose what to put on it, because Pete was such a good friend of WBAI and all the Pacifica stations. He appeared on all of the stations, and they chose things from each station. So you get him at KPFA in Berkeley and KPFK in L.A., and he was very frank, and some of the producers at those stations knew him way back when, and you get a taste of that. And you know, it was fun to listen to. And when you think about an anti-war protester volunteering to join the war effort, you know, it's a different time period,
yeah.
Very different than what's going on nowadays.
And
yeah, well, things nowadays are very challenging for all of us. And I think one of the greatest challenges with all the conflict in the world is remembering the world that we emerged from. And perhaps we left behind some of the greatest wisdom and inspiration. And this program is really meant to re-inspire us all about what's important, and also about what a person can do in their lifetime. We're offering as a gift for your $100 pledge the Pete Seeger Centennial Collection. And this is a way of all of us in the Pacifica WBAI family to be reminded of what's important, the level of human compassion and caring and giving is almost unprecedented with Pete Seeger, but also with the many people who associated with his work, Bob Dylan, Odetta, and some of the many clips that you heard in the first part of this program. You'll be receiving as your gift a clean, pristine copy of the full presentations, the full tracks, and there are many, many, many tracks. And it's a gift of love. It's a gift of caring. It's a gift of remembering who we really are as human beings. When we look at a person whose life is so amazing, whose offering in the world during his lifetime was so amazing as Pete Seeger, it lets us know that we can also participate in that. We can be a part of that gift of life, because WBAI is a gift to you. And where, as we bring this presentation, you can return that gift. You can show how significant and important Pete Seeger's life was to the development of our humanity. And you can keep that going, keeping the platform that allows this kind of sharing and caring and building towards building a better world. You're a part of that when you make that donation to Pacifica. So call that number, 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950. Go to the website, give2wbai.org, and make a pledge. Remember, you can make a pledge in any amount. You can make a pledge in any amount. Membership is $25, so you can pledge 5 or 10 if you like. You can pledge any amount according to your means. You can become a WBAI buddy. Maybe that's the best way for you to honor this commitment that we're asking in your support, and just make a payment that's affordable monthly. So many ways to support WBAI, but the truth is, if you choose not to support WBAI, all this goodness has the potential of slipping away. And we don't want that to happen. I know you don't want that to happen. Those of you who tune in for your favorite programs day after day or week after week want it to be here. But that can only happen with your support. Call 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950, and make your pledge of support. Or you can go ahead, yeah.
Yeah, you know, in these divisive times of political turmoil, there is one place that you can go to hear the voices of the people, listener-supported radio. There are many viewpoints, and we bring you discussion and experts you won't hear anywhere else. We hope you feel this is your media. Sure, we ask for your donations. Isn't that better than when media companies take their dollars from influencers with corporate money? Yep, we think so too. So please be generous with your support, whether you request a thank you gift or join us as an Ecologic BA buddy or Heart of Mind BA buddy. It all works to keep your radio station on the air. We appreciate all our listeners, and we appreciate when you show us that you want us to stay on the air. Just like change doesn't happen unless activists take the steps to make it happen, media doesn't just stay on the air without your action either. In this case, your financial support. Please call 212-209-2950 or go to give2wbai.org. And to let us know you are a listener, we'd love you to go to our website and sign up for our email list. You'll be sure to hear of upcoming shows. And remember, your thank you gifts are doubled by our generous WBAI donor bonus. Thank you to our generous donor. We really appreciate your $1,000 matching bonus.
WBAI covers pretty much every single political and social issue. So when you donate to WBAI, you're supporting every single political and social issue. It's absolutely amazing what you can hear on WBAI. And that's why we're not going to get corporate support, because we criticize them. And it is so important to support all these people who are volunteering and trying to do their best. It's amazing what you hear on WBAI. And so it's not just Ecologic Wednesdays at 10. It's not just Heart of Mind Fridays at 11. It is a zillion other programs that you hear, 168 hours a week. And it's beautiful. You learn a lot. You hear fascinating people that you wouldn't hear anywhere else. And all those people deserve your support. This station deserves your support. And in order to help motivate you, we do programs like this Pete Seeger two-hour special with Catherine Davis. And we have that special thank you gift of 10 hours about Pete Seeger, including the Bob Dylan sex clip, and including Odetta, and including his experiences with the House Un-American Activities Committee. You know, they arrested him for being a good guy. And it's, you know, in many ways, times haven't changed. And in many ways, they have. So WBI has been a part of that. We were a big part helping to stop the Vietnam War. You know, this is an important station. You're donating to an absolutely wonderful, historical, very, very important segment of this world. And it's call 212-209-2950 or go to give2wbai.org.
And as rich as the history is, right now we're giving voice to people who can't find space on other media, who you know, are booted off mainstream media or just never get a chance to be there at all. And when we heard this next clip from a KPFK interview, and KPFK is part of Pacifica, as is WBAI, we appreciated how little things have changed since the 70s. Let's hear Sailing Up My Dirty Stream.
It's a kind of station in all of Pacifica stations that are interested in these kind of problems, because we don't have to knuckle under to business or the government, because we don't even belong to National Public Radio. And just as you mentioned that somehow or other you don't quite get these exposés when there are big grants from, you know, the corporations, somehow you don't quite get the political and social and other kind of exposés when you're taking money from the government. So we struggle along with our listener support, and it's important to us, and we go on the air here and we ask people to subscribe, you know, to raise money, and we put on our folk festivals. And I've always felt, like I used to feel in the old days for People's Songs, that when an artist identifies with KPFK and helps raise money, they're helping a lot of organizations, because to many of them, it's the only voice they have, the only voice they have. And I also agree with you on TV, and I still feel, of course, and I wouldn't think you'd disagree, that radio does have a terrific place. With all the limitations, right. It has a terrific place. And it's wonderful to be able to work around the house or the shop or what have you and listen. And that you cannot do with television. You put your put your hand right through the machine or something. Yeah. Well, some of these decisions are going to have to be universally beneficial, like pollution in certain ways. As you mentioned, I mean, if you're rich, you still have to breathe the air. You know, you still have to breathe the air and you got to drink the water. Maybe you can import bottled water, but it's pretty hard to import the air unless you live in a hermetically sealed room, you know, with a couple of oxygen tanks. That doesn't make sense. You've done a lot on the pollution struggle yourself as far as water goes.
I never expected to be in it so much. I just was sailing a little boat up and down the Hudson and enjoying it and made up a song about it. Sailing up my... I'll sing you a verse.
That's a script.
It's one of my better songs, at least. You know, I write hundreds of songs, but only two or three turn out worth singing. Sailing up my dirty stream, still I love it, and I'll keep the dream that someday, though maybe not this year, my Hudson River will once again run clear. She starts high in the mountains of the north, crystal clear and icy trickles forth, with just a few floating wrappers of chewing gum dropped by some hikers to warn of things to come. At Glens Falls, 5,000 honest hands work at the Consolidated Paper plant. 5 million gallons of waste a day. Why should we do it any other way? Down the valley, 1 million toilet chains find my Hudson so convenient place to drain. And each little city says, who, me? Do you think that sewage plants come free? Out in the ocean, they say the water's clear, but we live on the river here, halfway between the mountains and the sea. Tacking to and fro, this thought returns to me. Sailing up my dirty stream, still I love it and I'll dream that someday, though maybe not this year, my Hudson River and my country will run clear.
After attending last week's meeting of the Indian Point Decommissioning Oversight Board, that song resonates in a new way, as I realize how far the river has come and how vulnerable it still is. We were glad to have such great experts on nuclear energy on the Ecologic the day before that meeting. WBAI was an excellent platform to get the word out, to help people learn about the continuing dangers of stored radioactive waste. We are particularly grateful to our Ecologic WBAI buddies who help ensure that the station's bills get paid. Please join us now so you can be proud of having done your part to help keep WBAI on the air.
And if you want, you can send a check or money order for your membership or donation directly by the mail. Mail to WBAI Radio, Attention Membership, 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11217. That's 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, 11217.
That's right. 212-209-2950 is the number to call to make your donation to WBAI. 212-209-2950. We're down to the wire and we're asking you to call now. Remember what it is that you are supporting. You're supporting WBAI. You're supporting the work of its many producers, the passion they bring to the table. You're making it possible for us to maintain the broadcast tower. You're making it possible for us to maintain our broadcast facilities and equipment. That's what your donation does, and we're asking you to do that right now as we close out the program. 212-209-2950 is the number to call. 212-209-2950 is your number to call. You can go to the website, give2wbai.org. You can go to the main site, wbai.org, and find a link to all these possibilities, including linking on to the Tower Fund. So please do show your support, 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950 is the number to call.
And donations can also be made to honor our own Ken Gale, May 2nd. He had a big birthday.
Yeah, and he's been working on this station for a very long time, doing lots of great work, from his comic book show to Ecologic since 2002. It's really been a pleasure being part of it these last few years, and we really want to keep going, and please send in your donations.
And special thanks to Catherine Davis. We loved working with you this week. Well, Catherine's been our co-host, engineer, helped us fundraise, and been a good friend to Ecologic.
I totally love Ecologic because it brings together the community of people who care about the planet in which we live. And amongst that community are people who actually taking action and educating and politicking and advocating. And it's really important that this program remain on the air, just as it's important for WBAI to be available to all of you. So we're asking you to show your support. Call 212-209-2950. And for that gift of $100, we can thank you with the Pete Seeger Centennial Collection. Now, this is a Pacifica Archive program, so in a manner of speaking, you're supporting, you're helping all of Pacifica when you make that donation of $100. The number to call is 212-209-2950. It also helps to keep the value of this work present and forward in our consciousness and our awareness. And the beautiful thing about Pete Seeger's work is that it inspires us. So call that number, 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950. I'm going to play the last cut. So if you have something more to say, please do, Ken, Sally, Donna.
Yes, thank you so much, and please keep us on the air. I'm Sally Gellert.
I'm Ken Gale.
And I'm Donna Stein. Join us on Wednesday, May 8th at 10 a.m. We're usually here Wednesdays at 10 a.m. between excellent programs, Covert, Action Bulletin, and Living for the City. Check our website for details, ecoradio.org. Heart of Mine is on WBAI at 11 a.m. on Fridays. Thank you for being our listeners on this Pete Seeger birthday special. We'll go out with Pete's tribute song to Martin Luther King, Take It From Dr. King, live on David Letterman 2008.
Down in Alabama, 1959, not everybody here tonight was then alive. young Baptist preacher led a bus boycott. He showed a way for a brand new day without firing a shot. Don't say it can't be done. The battle's just begun. Take it from Dr. King. You too can learn to sing, so drop the gun. Oh, those must have been an exciting 13 years. Young heroes, young heroines. There was laughter, there were tears. Students sitting down at lunch counters. Children dancing in the street. To think it all started with Rosa refusing to give up her seat. Don't say it can't be done. The battle's just begun. Take it from Dr. King. You two can learn to sing, so drop the gun. Oh, you know what? You could sing this chorus with us. Don't say it can't be done. Sing that.
Don't say it can't be done.
The battle's just begun.
The battle's just begun.
Take it from Dr. King.
Take it from Dr. King.
Let's sing those three lines.
Don't say it can't be done. The battle's just begun.
Take
it from Dr. King.
You too can learn to sing.
You too can learn to sing.
So drop the gun.
So drop the gun.
Now you know the whole chorus.
Don't say we can't be done. The battle's just begun.
Take
it from Dr. King. You too can learn to sing. So drop the gun.
Songs, songs, songs kept them going and growing. They didn't know all the millions of seeds that they were sowing. They were singing on marches, even singing in jail. Songs gave them courage to believe they would not fail.
Don't say it can't be done. The battle's just begun. Take it from Dr. King. You too can learn to sing, so drop the gun.
We sang about Alabama 1955. But since September 11th, many wonder, will this world survive? But if the world learns the lessons from Dr. King, we can survive, we can.
We will!
And so we sing.
Don't say it can't be done. Hey! The battle's just begun. Take it from Dr. King. You too can learn to sing, so drop the gun.
You're singing better and better and better. Put them together.
Don't say it can't be done. The battle's just begun. Take it from Dr. King. You too can learn to sing, so drop the gun.
Messages.
Roger Waters.
New York, from my friend Randy Credico, whose program I will be on Friday, I think, live on the fly. We're talking about Kent State, interestingly enough. So he's been up at Columbia all day yesterday, and he'll be back again there today. Now, in New York City, they've mobilized the NYPD as a proper fascist Gestapo force to go in and not just harass, but arrest and handcuff and physically damage the protesters. And the protesters are not going anywhere. So